Welcome to the Bravo Dog Knowledge Podcast. I'm Renee Erdman, your host. I am a certified behavior consultant and dog trainer. I own bravodog.ca in North Vancouver, BC. And today, it's been a little while actually, so welcome back. If you are joining us for the first time, I hope that you enjoy this episode and check out some of our previous ones. Been a little while since I put out a podcast episode. I thought it was long overdue. So today I think I'm going to talk to you guys about adoption and the whole transition period post-adoption. Hope that you enjoy the episode. I think I've read on some rescue websites that adoption, you know, post-adoption, people should expect that it'll take a few weeks for the dog to settle in. I think time is the most under-addressed issue post-adoption because we just expect, you know, dogs to settle in and understand that their new home is, you know, the best thing that's ever happened to them. But you have to understand that they don't understand anything and there's no rational way for us to explain that to them. So what they're often looking for is consistency and a safe environment where they know what to expect because they don't speak English. And oftentimes they're actually, if they're coming from a different country, they may be even used to a different language. So that's something to keep in mind when you bring them home is, you know, keep your expectations realistic and quite low and look for the basics of just providing safety and consistency in a routine so that your dog can navigate their new life. So if you've adopted a dog from a different country, I think these dogs are what I would call special needs dogs because they've been through more than maybe the average dog. You know, I could be completely conflating that. Because who knows, maybe a shelter dog in your own country has been through some pretty bad neglect and cruelty. So I don't want to discount that. But what I take a look at is, first of all, was the animal born on the streets? And so, you know, that early experience and environment and socialization is going to affect the dog for the rest of their life. And some things you may or may not be able to change. So there's that aspect. The next aspect is going to be, were they then put into a foster type environment or kennel compound in that country for a period of time? And how did that affect their welfare and their emotions and their behavior? From there, depending on how long they stayed, of course, that's going to be a factor as well. And then put on a plane, maybe even put in a crate, and that's never happened to them before, and flown, you know, 10, 20 hours. I don't know how long some of these flights are to their receiver. And is that receiver then another foster home who is going to take care of that dog until they get to their adoptive home? So all of those transitions, you know, how difficult is that for an animal to process and to cope with? And that's going to be determined by the resiliency of that particular animal as an individual. But I think those cases, I would say it's fair that it could take 6 months to 2 years for a dog to decompress from and fully feel comfortable in their new home. So I think those are definitely things to think about is the history of the dog that you are getting and the age of that dog as well. The older the dog is, you know, maybe more incidents have happened in that time period than, you know, a 6 month old dog or one that's a year of age. So those are all things to ponder. The honeymoon period is the first period of time after you've brought your dog home and they seem so quote unquote good. So they're not doing anything naughty. They're not, you're not seeing any kind of reactivity. Everything looks good to go. This is really, really common. And most of the time, this is because the animal
isn't feeling quite safe in their environment yet. They don't know what to predict, and so they aren't displaying true natural behavior. This is probably one of the most common things that I hear from people that contact me after they've adopted, that, you know, Fluffy was so good, and then all of a sudden there's reactivity towards their dogs or people or resource guarding or something like that. So this is really something that I think should be just spread far and wide to those that are adopting. And it doesn't matter where you're adopting from. It even could be a situation where maybe somebody's rehoming a dog and you've decided to take that dog into your home. So I also think that as a side note, when, you know, you have a dog that may have some behavior challenges going on, and then, you know, they go and stay with somebody for a day or two, or, you know, they're at a friend's house or something, and they're so good with them. And, you know, again, I really do circle back to that whole, is the dog suppressing their true natural behavior until they would actually become comfortable in an environment that's predictable for them? Of course, the more that we know about how animals think and learn just overall, and body language is really going to help you on your journey to understanding your newly adopted dog. So while, you know, the thought is that, oh, we need to start training our dogs right away as soon as we get them and teach them sit, down, stay, loose leash walking, I actually would encourage somebody to completely take that pressure off of the animal for the first, you know, until you're noticing that the animal is feeling confident and relaxed and comfortable in their new home. I think more important things to put into place are going to be routines. So that would mean, you know, feeding times and walks and bedtime. All of those things are much more important to me. Giving them some mental stimulation to engage in would be super helpful as well, because the thought would be is that if they're engaging in, say, a stuffed Kong or a puzzle toy or a snuffle mat, is that they're not going to be worrying about the uncertainty of their life at that moment. So keeping them busy and getting them doing something productive on their own is going to build confidence, and it's going to be really helpful for them to cope with what's going on in their world. I don't want to turn this podcast into a how to choose a rescue group, because that would be a completely different episode. But I think that it's super important to have support in case something doesn't go as planned, which that's life. Things don't usually go as planned. However, I think having support from the rescue group would be important, because they can direct you towards resources. So whether it's behavior modification and training, or it is, gosh, it could be even a vet that you might need. Or what do we do if we notice certain medical issues, or any kind of questions that you might have? So hopefully whomever you adopt through, you have that support system in place, especially for dogs that are coming from foreign countries, because there are just more, I think, things to think about, and then, you know, from a dog coming from your local shelter. So make sure that if you are vetting rescue groups, that they are providing post-adoption support, as well as they are making sure that they promote force-free positive reinforcement trainers and training, because that directly impacts animal welfare.
Stress and anxiety is a big factor in contributing to behaviors that the humans don't like. So one example might be, you know, if your dog, you've brought them home, they've been with you maybe, gosh, a day, a week, a couple weeks, and you're seeing that they are, you know, maybe they're growly when you come close to them, or you're trying to take something from them. You know, going back to what I've been saying here about this decompression period, where they don't quite understand what's going on, and we can't assure them that everything's fine, is that it makes sense that they might be a little more jumpy, they might be a little more cranky, they might be less tolerant than normal. So, you know, I'm not saying that that aggression is quote unquote okay. It's natural and it's normal for animals to respond with aggression.
But I think understanding that it could be coming from a place of stress and anxiety is one to keep in mind when you are responding. And your best response is to behavior that you don't like is not to immediately react back to the animal, because it's not going to help. I think the best advice that I could give you if you're seeing incidents happen would be, as a response, would be to remove yourself immediately or remove them from the situation in which the reaction is happening, and then evaluate it. Go through the environment, what might have triggered it, and could you prevent it in the future? And could you work with a behavior consultant to try and resolve these issues? And I often advise people to look for trends and patterns versus one-off situations, because we just don't know. You can't make an educated decision or make an educated sort of, I guess, opinion about a behavior that maybe you only have seen once. And that doesn't mean putting your dog in that situation again to see if they'll react. It just means, you know, look for trends in behavior and patterns. And if there's an increase in this behavior that you don't like, then okay, we might have something here. If it's a one-off, it could have been a bad day, you know? So I think documenting these things is super helpful, and not reacting as a response to a reaction. So looking at how stress and anxiety contributes to overall behavior, you know, as I mentioned earlier, some animals, and a lot of them, will suppress behavior, but there are some that may be more reactive as a response to being under stress and anxiety. So I think keeping a dog's world quite small when they come home with you is really important. And probably one of the biggest mistakes that people make post-adoption is to try and throw them into every aspect of their life right away. And it's not for lack of caring. I think it's that, you know, often people are super excited about adopting this dog and bringing them into their home, that they want to make them a part of everything that they do all at once. So if we're talking about keeping their world small, I think that means, you know, sticking to on-leash walks, or even just if you've got a yard, hanging out in the yard, because some dogs have never been on a leash before. So keep that in mind, that you don't want to just throw it on them. And gosh, even just putting a harness on some dogs can be, oh my gosh, what is this? So keep their world small for, you know, a period of time until you see some reliable behavior. I would avoid taking them to other people's houses and dog parks and daycares and introducing too many people at once. And, you know, again, just take your time, slow things down, let the dog process what's going on in their life and get some familiarity about some routine and their environment. I hope today's podcast has provided you with some insight and maybe a few tips and tricks that you can share with family or friends, or it might come in handy for yourself. I wanted to leave you with a book recommendation, and the author is John Bradshaw. His book is called Dog Sense. The synopsis to this book is: dogs have been mankind's faithful companions for tens of thousands of years, yet today they are regularly treated as either pack-following wolves or furry humans. The truth is, dogs are neither, and our misunderstanding has put them in serious crisis. In Dog Sense, renowned anthropozoologist Dr. John Bradshaw uses groundbreaking research into human-animal interactions to show us how humans can live in harmony with, not just dominion over, their four-legged friends. From explaining why positive reinforcement is a more effective and less damaging way to control dogs' behavior than punishment, to demonstrating the importance of weighing a dog's unique personality against stereotypes about its breed, Bradshaw offers extraordinary insight into the question of how we really ought to treat our dogs. This is not an ad, by the way, just a book recommendation. People ask me for them all the time, and I think this is a great one for everyone.